We're going to continue the study we started several weeks ago on change. And so today's message is change, embrace it by obedience. And the one constant in life, I've heard it said, is change. And you know what? People, generally speaking, are change resistant. Generally speaking, there are some people out there that love change. They're adventurous. But generally speaking, most people are change resistant. And as I've said before, I'll say it again, if you can't handle change well, you won't be able to handle life. On the other hand, if you can handle change, you'll be successful in handling life. And you know, I'm preaching to myself because just as I was getting ready to prepare this message today, I received a call. I own a business. We work on people's homes in Tulsa. And this client called, a potential client, we were supposed to do some work, started tomorrow, and she changed the scheduling of it. I don't know if she's backed out, but it's a change. It messed up the schedule. But you know what? Life is all about change. And you know what? The change in your life doesn't take God by surprise. You know, God knows best. God knows about the change in your life, and He's got something good around the corner from that change. Friend, I encourage you to accept change because something better is on the horizon in your life. Let me say it again. I encourage you to accept change because something better is around the corner in your life. And as I just said a minute ago, remember this. Even when it doesn't make sense to your mind and you feel like pulling your hair out, the change in your life does not take God by surprise. He's got something good, a miracle in store, a breakthrough in store for your life. Is that good? The Word of God says this in Matthew 7:11. Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've heard it before, but it bears repeating. Matthew 7:11, Jesus says this. He says, "If you then, though you are evil, or having the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, the sinless one, give good gifts to those who ask Him?" God is the author of good. God has got something good in store for your life. God has got a miracle in store for your life. But in order to receive that good thing, that miracle, you've got to be able to embrace change. Because life is all about change. Now, today we're going to talk about how to more effectively embrace change. One of the ways to more effectively embrace change. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. A reason why some people don't embrace change. What is one of the reasons that people are generally change resistant? Or why is it that some people resist change? They don't know different. I heard sat with a guy about a month ago having dinner with him, and he says, "You know, Jonathan, I'm a nonconformist." Nonconformist. To me, that sounds like a person who doesn't want to flex, doesn't want to change. Why is it that some people resist change? So this brother said they don't know better. One of the main reasons people don't change is because they are rebellious. They don't want better. They're comfortable with where they are at. One of the reasons that people don't change is because they're rebellious. They're comfortable with where they are at. The comfort of the familiar paralyzes them from going forward. Is that making sense? But what is on the other side of your rebellion and disobedience to God? If God is telling you to do something, if God is trying to get you out of your comfort zone and you rebel, what is on the other side of that rebellion, that disobedience? Some negative repercussions. And we can learn this from the life of Jonah now. It says this, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, in Jonah 1:1. You can turn there. And he said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. In verse 3, here's the key. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found the ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, Jonah was comfortable in his feeling of animosities against the Ninevites. He was comfortable in that. He didn't want to change, and you know, God was wanting him to change and become more compassionate towards the Ninevites and bring them the message of repentance. But instead of changing from feelings of animosity towards the Ninevites to feelings of compassion, he decided to stay with his feelings of animosity. So what did he do? God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm going towards Tarshish. So he was rebellious toward God, right? He was disobedient toward God. And what did his rebellion and disobedience toward God bring him? It brought him negative repercussions. You can read on in Jonah 1 that a great storm arose on the seas. And the sailors were trying to figure out who was responsible for the storm. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Jonah said, "Put me overboard." They put him overboard. And after they put him overboard, he was in the ocean. God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah 1:17. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. So Jonah didn't want to change, right? God was wanting Jonah to change and bring the message of repentance to Nineveh. But Jonah's like, no, I want to stay stuck in my feelings of animosity towards the Ninevites. But there was a change in Jonah's life, in Jonah's heart. In Jonah chapter 2, as you read it, Jonah had a change of heart. And he humbled himself before the Almighty God. And he said, God, I'm sorry. And, you know, if you read on in Jonah chapter 2, it says this. And he says, I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So initially, Jonah was disobedient. He was rebellious, right? He was stuck in a storm and in the belly of a whale. And it's pretty uncomfortable in the belly of a whale. Wouldn't you agree? He must have been perspiring. He must have had seaweed just swishing all around him. And he probably felt like dying in the belly of that whale. And friend, today you might feel like you're in the belly of some type of whale. Could it be that you're in the belly of some type of whale today because God spoke to you about changing your life and you resisted that change? Because you were comfortable with the familiar and God was trying to get you out of the nest, but you wanted to stay. You were resisting change. You were rebelling against God. Could it be that you're stuck in the belly of some type of whale because you did not obey the voice of God in your life? Maybe God was wanting you to reconcile a relationship. And maybe He was telling you to call that person or to write that person a letter. But you were just so stuck in your feelings of animosity towards that person that you didn't make the call. You didn't write the letter. And so the relationship remains broken. Maybe that person has passed on. Maybe God was wanting to give you victory over addiction. But maybe you were comfortable with the familiar, with that addiction. God was telling you, take those courses to help overcome that addiction. But you didn't do it. You were comfortable with where you were at. And so you still remain stuck in the belly of that whale, the belly of addiction. Maybe it's in finances. Maybe God was telling you to fill out job applications until you landed the right job. But maybe you were just comfortable with where you were at. You didn't fill out those applications. And today you find yourself moneyless in the belly of that whale. And what is it that God has told you to do? If God is speaking into your life, don't resist His voice. Don't be so comfortable with the familiar that you can't embrace change. Because on the other side of your obedience, on the other side of change, towards the better thing that God is wanting you to do, is a miracle for your life, is a breakthrough. Is that good news today? So, as we said, on the other side of your rebellion and disobedience to God are negative repercussions. But there's good news today. On the other hand, what is on the side, on the other side of your obedience? If there's negative repercussions for disobedience, on the other side of your obedience to God is what? Rewards. A miracle from the Almighty God. Something that you could have never imagined. Something so big, so good, so great, you could never have imagined this breakthrough, this miracle in your life. It's on the other side of your obedience, of you being able to accept the change that God is wanting you to accept. Don't be so stuck. Don't be so set in your ways. People who are set in their ways never go forward in life. If you're just so set in your ways of thinking and doing things and so comfortable right where you're at, guess what? In 20 or 30 years down the line, you'll be like, man, I can't believe it. Nothing has changed in 20 or 30 years of my life. And if that's the case, it could be that you couldn't embrace change by obedience to the Almighty God. Now, let's turn to 2 Kings 5 if you have a Bible. 2 Kings chapter 5. I love this account here. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're talking about what is on the other side of your obedience to God, on the other side of your being able to accept and embrace change. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy, skin disease. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. Verse 5 of 2 Kings 5. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, he was comfortable with the familiar, right? He was thinking that his healing would come about through a certain method. He said this. What did he say? He said, "I thought that he would surely come to me, stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy." So he was expecting the prophet Elisha to wave his hand over him so that he would be cleansed of his leprosy, right? And then he says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel?" Naaman was stuck, was comfortable with the familiar. He was expecting to be healed by a certain method with the waving of the hand. But God was saying, "No, Naaman, I want you to be healed with another method. Embrace change. I want you not to have the prophet's hand waved over you, but I want you to physically dip 7 times in the Jordan River." And it was hard for Naaman to accept that change, that method of finding or receiving his healing, of dipping in the Jordan. He was also comfortable with what? With the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar. He says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel?" He was probably familiar with those rivers. And he was stuck. He was comfortable with the familiar. But God was saying, "No, Naaman, I want you to embrace change. I've got something better for you. Embrace change. Embrace the river Jordan." And Naaman was fighting against it. "But I'm familiar with Abana and Pharpar." And God was saying, "No, I want you to embrace change. I want you to embrace the river Jordan." And so we see Naaman here was fighting against it, right? He didn't want to dip. He didn't want to dip in the Jordan River, right? He was wanting to do what he wanted to do. For a moment in time, he was rebellious, right? He was comfortable with the familiar. But there was a change in his heart once his servant spoke to him. There was a humbling of his heart. He decided to surrender himself to the word of God through the prophet Elisha. He humbled himself. And it says in the word of God that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And so we see his humbling in 2 Kings 5:14. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. So he decided to do what? He decided to humble himself. He decided to obey God. And by obeying God, he embraced what? Change. He embraced change. Instead of expecting the prophet's hand to be waved over him, the change he accepted was what? Dipping in the Jordan. Instead of wanting to dip in Abana and Pharpar, the change that he accepted was what? Dipping in which river? The Jordan River. And because he embraced change by obedience to God, what came about in his life? It's awesome. It says this, after he did that, he dipped in the Jordan 7 times. His flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. He was instantaneously physically healed. That's awesome, isn't it? That's an awesome miracle in his life. He was suffering with this skin disease. And God was saying, Naaman, I want you to accept change by obedience to my word. And if you accept change by obedience to me, there's a miracle around the corner in your life far beyond what you could have ever imagined. And the miracle in Naaman's life was physical restoration, physical healing. I'm here to tell you today, friend, the same for you and for me. If we can embrace the change that God is asking us to embrace, there is a miracle, a breakthrough around the corner on the horizon of your life that you could never have imagined with your natural mind. And only God knows what that miracle is. Is that making sense today? But you've got to be willing to embrace change, the change God is asking you to embrace by obedience to what He's telling you to do. And if you obey the word of the Lord and accept that change, I'm here to tell you that your life is going to go forward. You're going to climb that mountain. You're going to climb the mountain higher and higher in your life. You're going to soar like an eagle with the Almighty God. Is that good news today? God has got something special in store for you. He's got a destiny for you. He's got an end. He's got so much more than where you're at right now. But when God speaks to you, don't be comfortable with the familiar. Step out of yourself, embrace that change that God is telling you to embrace, and God is just going to do something awesome with your life beyond your wildest imaginations. Could you say amen today? Amen. So, you know, if you want reconciliation of a relationship, or God is telling you to write to somebody, or God is telling you to take a course, or God is telling you to speak to a certain employer, do what He's telling you to do. Don't be so comfortable with the familiar. If you're so comfortable with the familiar and you can't change, it's like telling God, God, I want to do my own thing. This is my life. I do with my life what I want to. That's a rebellious nature. And God doesn't bless rebellion. There's one thing that God blesses, and it's an obedient and humble heart. Is that good news today? All right. I'm going to read you something from the Speaker's Quote Book. It's real easy, and it's this. It's on obedience. A missionary translator was struggling to find a word for obedience, but could not. One day he called his dog to him, and the dog came running. A national said, "Your dog was all ear." That gave the translator the word he needed for obedience, to be all ear. Let's be all ear to what God is telling us to do. Let's be all ear to the change God is telling us to embrace. And not to be only all ear, but to act upon what we hear God telling us to do. Naaman heard the word of the Lord in 2 Kings 5. He knew that God was wanting him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He heard it, he knew it, but he got upset. But he decided to humble himself and actually do what God asked him to do. He actually ended up embracing the change God was telling him to embrace, and he was blessed supernaturally in his body. Now, interestingly, I was just downstairs and I was reading this from the Word of Faith, February-March 2012 edition. And it kind of really went well with what I was speaking today. And it says this, "It's a good thing the Grunewalds were open to being stretched and doing whatever God asked of them. The last thing either one of them wanted to do was to be in front of people. But they were determined to be obedient and faithful to God's call. And that has caused them to do things outside boundaries of how they thought their lives would turn out." What's the key here? It says they were determined to be obedient and faithful to God's call. And that has caused them to do things outside the boundaries of how they thought their lives would turn out. In other words, being obedient to God's call caused them to embrace change, stepping out of what was comfortable. After starting Rhema Bible Church and Rhema Bible Training Center, Germany in 1999, they went on to open 5 more Rhema campuses in Germany, as well as schools in Amsterdam, Netherlands, Zurich, Switzerland. And as international directors for Rhema Europe, Africa, and the Middle East, they also oversee the expansion of Rhema campuses in these areas. Today, the Grunewalds' teaching schedule at Rhema campuses in Europe and Africa keeps them crisscrossing those continents so much that even the best travel agent would have a hard time keeping up with them. But with only 4% of Europe's population being born again, there's still a lot of work to be done. The Grunewalds' ministry motto is to save the lost, establish the saved, train the established, and position or send out the trained. Since they arrived in Germany in 1993, John and Michelle have been tirelessly doing this, and their hard work is paying off. Friend, what is God telling you to do? He's wanting to get you out of your comfort zone. He's wanting to get you out of that nest, like a mother eagle, like an eagle does with its eaglets, pushes them out of the nest, and they learn to fly and then to soar in the skies. What is God asking you to do? What change is God asking you to embrace? Relationally, emotionally, concerning victory over addiction, financially, job-wise, education-wise, ministry-wise. What change is God asking you to embrace today? Will you heed his voice and do what he's telling you to do, or will you be rebellious like Jonah was in Jonah 1 and do your own thing? If you're rebellious, you don't embrace the change, there's going to be some major negative repercussions in your life with nobody else to blame except you. You see? God is just asking you to embrace the change. And it takes some faith. Yes, it takes a lot of faith, like we talked about last week, to embrace that change, to step out and be obedient. Because maybe the real root of it is that you're fearing the unknown. But if you take that step of faith, I'm telling you that God honors faith. God will bless you abundantly and supernaturally beyond anything you could have ever have imagined. Amen? But it's embracing change through obedience to the Almighty God. One last scripture. You've heard this before, but it bears repeating. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. And it says this. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. In other words, if you're willing to hear the voice of God and obey the voice of God, obey what God is telling you to do, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, in other words, if you have that rebellious spirit telling God, God, this is my life, I do with it what I want to do with it, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. All right? I don't know what your land is today. Your land could be finances. Your land could be education. Your land could be a relationship. It could be an addiction. I don't know what your land is today, but if you're obedient to what God is telling you to do, you will eat from the best of the land in your life. You'll have a great relationship. Your finances will increase. You'll go to that school. You'll be in the ministry that God is wanting you to be in. As I said, your finances will go up. So many good things are in store for your life if you're obedient to doing what God is asking you to do. It takes a humbling of the heart. Maybe up until now, you were in control of your own life. But there's somebody else that wants to be behind the steering wheel of your life, and his name is God. It's Jesus Christ, God the Son. He wants to be in charge of your life. And maybe God is speaking to you today to give your heart to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Maybe he's telling you to recommit your life to him today. If you're wanting to do your own thing and you're rebellious natured and you can't accept that change, guess what? You'll keep on living in rebellion. You see, God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to him. So if God is telling you for the first time to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord, then do it. You know, the blessings of God begin with starting that relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not following Christ, if you're rebelling against God, God is not obligated. He's not mandated under no obligation to bless you. So if you've never accepted Jesus, you can do so today. Maybe you followed Jesus at one time, but maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with somebody and you slipped away from Christ. Today you can recommit your life, friend.